It is Thursday, March 14th. Tonight, joined by D-Mac. Matty G is away on school camp, so no way for him to join us tonight unless we were to hit him up in the bush wherever he is. D-Mac and I will be going over some recent injury news, doing some player battles, and then touching in or looking in on our way too early industry mock draft. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I am Adam King, your host, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Joining me tonight is, I better unmute him so we can hear him, is DMAC at NBA Fantasy Bible. Been a little while since you were on the show, but we've managed to swing a few things and get you back. How have you been in the last month, maybe? It might have been a month, I'm not sure.
Been about a month. Yeah, it's doing well, Kingy. Been really exciting, super busy. I raced home after work. I needed to be on this show. It's been too long, but got my beer ready to go. Got my sidetrack once again. Good sidetrack, WA yeah. Gauge Roads. Give it a crack for those that do have that available to them. But yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, and plenty to talk about. And you just sort of let me know that, well, and you let everyone else know, you've just sort of walked in the door from work. So a lot of the injury news that happened today, you're probably not aware of yet.
Which will be good. It'd be nice to get that initial reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I know I do it, is you'll hear an injury, you'll hear news about an injury, and you'll have a gut reaction and you'll go, okay, I've got to go and add this guy. But then you'll overthink it, you'll listen to all these podcasts and you'll dive into numbers, and sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes you overthink it to the point where you end up making the wrong decision. So I think we'll be able to get two perspectives tonight. Mine, quite a few of these players actually are on my roster, so I do have an opinion. And yours, hearing it for the first time, who are we adding? Are we adding anyone? So let's dive into my pretty little slides. Some recent injury news. So some of these are from today. Some of them are from the last week or 5 days. Going to start with Kristaps Porzingis, who has missed a few games now with a hamstring injury. The Celtics have no incentive at all to push him here. So we sort of thought maybe this was a case of, along with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Derek White, Jrue Holiday, the whole team, just alternating the rotations a bit, giving them a night off and then bringing them back. But that hasn't been the case with Porzingis. He's missed a few games. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses another couple here. Is there anyone that we're picking up? I know Al Horford is probably the prime candidate here, but he himself tends to miss games every now and then. So other than Al Horford, is there anyone else who benefits if Porzingis misses another week, for example?
I think Al is the obvious pickup, but someone like Luke Kornet in a deeper league, perhaps a 14 or a 16 teamer, is someone to consider. I don't think O'Shea Brissett is for my liking, but perhaps in a points league situation, he may be one to consider as well. But yeah, I think there's a little bit of usage that is spread amongst some of the other guys. But like you said, I would expect a lot of the guys just on the Celtics team, they are cruising right now. So I would expect that they would have some rest. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, even Derek White to a lesser extent. But yeah, they are cruising right now.
They are, yeah, and they're all sort of dealing with little niggles, and that just happens at this time of the year. So there'll be missed games in there. But, yeah, I think Horford is the one that you want to grab if he's available. And then if not, it's probably Luke Kornet. Maybe they run some small ball lineups so we get a little bit more of like a Peyton Pritchard or a Sam Hauser from time to time, depending on the opposition. But, yeah, I think it's Horford and then to a lesser extent Luke Kornet. Now, this one you might not be aware of, but Kobe White today, it was at the end of regulation. He suffered an interesting injury. So it was a chase down block on him. So he was driving the ball, chased down block by Pascal Siakam, who basically landed on Kobe White. and he fell awkwardly. I initially thought it might have been a groin or a hamstring, but apparently it's a hip. And it didn't look terrible, but it also, as I said, was awkward. It was an awkward fall. I think he might miss a little bit of time here, which is a shame because he's had a really good year. He's been healthy. Who are we picking up? I mean, if you're seeing this for the first time, which you might be, what does your gut tell you here with this one?
The swimmer is probably already rostered. So that's a tough one. Same goes for Caruso. I have seen him dropped during the week, but not after today's game. He was outstanding and really nice offensive game, which is quite unusual to get from Caruso. Javon Carter, is he an option? Is he going to get those minutes? I don't know, Kingy.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it will depend. This will depend a little bit on the matchup. So the Bulls play tomorrow. Kobe White, I don't think he's been officially ruled out, but I would assume let's tag him as doubtful because I doubt he plays. They play the Clippers, I believe, tomorrow. Clippers are a pretty big team. So they've got Zubats, they've got Plumlee, they've got Tice. Is it Drummond? Is this a Drummond game where even if Kobe White had played, we would be seeing more of Drummond? Because Drummond was terrible today if you streamed him in. But tomorrow there's a chance he plays 24, 26 minutes against a bigger lineup. So do you think Drummond is worth a look at least for tomorrow?
He's worth considering. But also you look at Zubats as well. He's looked better recently, but he's not going to be playing the mid-30s as well. So there's also a chance that the Clippers may verge on the side of playing small ball as well. Kawhi, I think he is out, I would say. So perhaps they do lean on Zubac a little bit more. So it could be a nice play with Drummond there.
It could be. And then the only other one for me would be maybe Torrey Craig. No, sorry, he doesn't even play for...
He's gone. Yeah.
He's playing. So he played today.
He played. He could be one. Or our old mate, Terry Taylor. He may actually get a few more minutes as well.
Yeah. So, it's hard to know. I think possibly Drummond. As you said, Dosunmu should be rostered everywhere. Caruso should be rostered everywhere. So there's probably no one other than Drummond if he does play a bigger role. Luka Doncic suffered a hamstring injury as well late in his game today. I think it was sort of with 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. They play tomorrow, I believe, as well. So I'm assuming, much like Kobe White, let's tag him as doubtful. With Doncic out, other than Kyrie Irving having to do a lot more, who are we looking at here for streaming?
It's got to be Aussie Dante Exum. I think he showed that form earlier in the season when there were a few injuries and he was looking really good. He was a must-roster guy in 12s. So perhaps he does get that streaming value. Maybe to a lesser extent, Tim Hardaway Jr. has a bit of a bounce back just with a few more shots to go around. He's looked really bad. He hasn't been a must-roster guy. But Tim Hardaway without Luka, I think he's a nice play as well.
Yeah, I think Hardaway for points and threes. Dante Exum can get you sort of production across a few different categories. And then Josh Green might be the other one, depending on how they start their lineup and the rotation. They're quite comfortable rolling Josh Green out there for 30-plus minutes as well. So actually a few options there, I think, in Dallas. And maybe we wait. I mean, it's hard to wait, depending on tip-off, but wait until we get an indication of who is starting and whether Doncic is actually playing. I don't think he'll play, but... let's wait and see. Alperen Şengün, when was he injured? I don't know. 4 days, 5 days ago, something
four
like that.
4 or 5 days ago, yeah.
Yeah. His season's done. Let's just he's not going to come back, especially not for fantasy. So with him out, I think the obvious one was Jock Landale, just because it's a centre for a centre. But they started Amen Thompson. Didn't have the best game in that first one with Şengün out, but Jabari Smith shifted up to the center spot. What if they would probably be the three, unless you've got anyone else in mind, but they would be the three that are going to benefit here. Jabari Smith is obviously rostered everywhere, so we don't need to worry about him. But if we're looking at Amen Thompson and Jock Landale, who would be your preference there?
still, I mean, I know he had a really disappointing game, but with Cam Whitmore still out as well, so he'll miss, I think, the next 3 weeks. I think our man just has that opportunity. Yes, he had a poor game, was heavily dropped after that game, but I still believe he has that opportunity. So he just needs to take it with both hands.
Yes, he does. And we've got a couple of questions, so I'll get to those very shortly. We'll just finish up with Kawhi Leonard, who left the game quite odd circumstances the other night. Quarter time, he left and sort of went to the locker room and then just went home, which was interesting. That's not normally what happens.
Sure, I could do that with work. Just, I'm done. Well, I'll see you later.
Yeah, a bit sore today. I'm just going to go home. So initially we thought this might have been a personal issue, but turns out it was back spasms and he just wasn't comfortable. It was something he was going through pregame. Would have been nice of them to mention that. But again, the Clippers are probably in a position where they don't have to play him, because they're relatively, I mean, they don't have Westbrook, but they've got Paul George playing. I think, is James Harden questionable?
I think it's questionable, perhaps. Yes. But questionable.
Yeah. So James Harden's questionable. Kawhi Leonard is actually questionable, but yeah, I'd put him more towards doubtful than questionable. So if Leonard misses time, who are our targets here?
Look, I still think Norman Powell, just going to pick up some usage, more shots. We saw him get a boost in minutes with Russell Westbrook sidelined as well. I think he'll get, yes, he'll still play those close to 30 minutes, but he'll get just more usage as well, more opportunity. Looking probably in deeper leagues, perhaps Amir Coffey, even PJ Tucker had a bit of a few minutes the other night as well, which we hadn't seen him barely at all this season. But
no,
perhaps he's a real, real deep league option. But for me, it's Norman Powell.
Yeah, I think it's Powell. I've added him in a couple of leagues. I added him even before the Kawhi injury. So, yeah, look, it's probably him, and then maybe a bit of man, as you said, a bit of coffee, little bits and pieces. Probably depends if Harden plays there as well as to the streaming value. Let me just throw up a couple of questions. So from R3X, will Keyonte George be getting 30-plus minutes per game consistently? For me, that's a pretty comfortable yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's looked really good, really solid. He has to be rostered.
Yep. There's the chance that he misses a few games here. Like the Jazz are one of the teams I want to talk about shortly, about tanking and resting and how much confidence do we have in them. But as long as he's healthy and playing, I think he's a lock for 30-plus minutes every night. Maybe a blowout. He might get 28 or something, but as long as it's moderately competitive, he will be. What do you guys think of the Wizards' center pickup? Will he get playing time tomorrow? Well, they don't really have a center. I think, let me just have a look. Well, Sean Holmes is questionable. Okay, so Holmes, if Holmes plays, that obviously cuts into the playing time here. Marvin Bagley is out. So we're talking about Tristan Vukovic. Mm-hmm. Do you know how to pronounce that specifically?
I don't, but I would say that's probably about
it's
right.
Vukovic. It's not Vukovic. It's not like Nikola. It's spelt a little bit differently.
It looks like a former soccer player in Australia, Danny Vukovic, but yeah, similar.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, look, I mean, what's he going to do? I think, look, if Holmes is out, I think he probably does. They like him. I know they've brought him over and he is someone that they've had their eye on, and I guess maybe this has all happened sort of preemptively because of the injuries to Bagley and that sort of thing. But, yeah, look, I think he probably would need 20-plus minutes to be fantasy viable here, and I'm not sure that happens just because he's fresh out of EuroLeague and coming here. And so he needs to get acclimatized and used to the NBA. It's very different. So I don't think I'd be adding him or anything like that, but I'd certainly be keeping an eye on him. Especially if we get word that Bagley or Holmes is going to miss sort of extended time here. I think he's, of the three, he's the most intriguing center. So it makes sense for the Wizards to try and get him out there. given that they've got nothing to play for. Any thoughts from you on him?
I'd probably try to avoid. I think the Wizards will just go to some small ball lineups, Kyle Kuzma at center, until Rashawn Holmes and or Marvin Bagley do return. I don't think Bagley is out for too much longer, but like you said, maybe they just look to keep him sidelined. Rashawn Holmes, I think, yeah, his glory years of about 4 or 5 seasons ago are well behind him, but there is some value. If he does come back, and he was very popular, a lot of pickups after his one really nice game, and then he was out the next game. But if he does come back, I think he's worthy of the roster spot.
Yep. And Gibbo here. Yep. Look, Aussie basketball fans, tune into the WNBA Grand Final in an hour. Yes, it's on at 9:30. The Lynx are playing the Flyers tonight. So if you want to catch a glimpse of Lauren Jackson before she retires for the fifth time, I'd be watching. I mean, this isn't a WNBL or WNBA podcast, obviously, but she's been incredible in the playoffs in the WNBL. She's scoring 30 points, hitting threes, getting rebound. She's amazing. So
she's surely going to play Olympics, right? She ruled herself out.
No, she ruled herself out. She helped them qualify, and then she retired from international basketball. So,
okay.
Which, I mean, that's fair. She's 40. I want to say she's 43, 44. Very similar to my age. I know she's similar to my age because I went to basketball camps with her when I was a teenager.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go. Yeah. So I know she's around my age. So we'll just quickly touch on some teams in general, so not specific players, and just, I guess, get your thoughts on whether we're trusting anyone on these teams, and if so, who. I'll start with the obvious one, the Memphis Grizzlies. Do you trust anyone?
No, I don't. No. Prior to a couple of days ago, it was probably Vince Williams, and he's been ruled out the last two games as well. So the last game, we just didn't know who was playing. No JJJ, no Vince Williams. Santi Aldama, I believe, missed as well. Gigi Jackson is consistently playing, but is he putting up outstanding numbers? It's solid without being spectacular. Jake LaRavia has been a nice pickup in deeper leagues, but he's still playing only the mid-20 minutes. So he's not a must-roster guy, maybe a streaming consideration, but there is also word that Desmond Bane could return in next game, which is unbelievable for me, but also would be great to see just for him. He's been sidelined for quite some time.
Yeah, look, Bane was doubtful coming into today and was ruled out. So he's close. I think he plays, which is, it's pretty surprising to me in saying that he's not going to play every game and he's not going to play big minutes, I don't think. Given the fact that they're resting everyone, It's pretty rare that anyone on this team plays two consecutive games. So,
you think of those two-way guys with Jordan Goodwin and Trey Jemison as well. Just you can't trust it day to day. So even with the stream, it's a bit risky.
It is. Yeah. Look, I mean, there is streaming value here in Memphis, but actually knowing who to stream, that's the issue. It's not that the value is not there. It's just that we don't know from one day to the next. Are Utah heading down this path as well? So they're not quite there in terms of Memphis and Portland and to a lesser extent Charlotte, but we've seen Lauri Markkanen is basically just AWOL at the moment. We have no indication at all whether he's coming back. So Jordan Clarkson is questionable for tomorrow. Taylor Hendricks is questionable. Other than that, I mean, they're playing their guys. Like John Collins is out there most nights, Colin Sexton, Keontae George, Chris Dunn. So I think there is a little more trust here, at least from me, there is. And I probably do trust those guys. Walker Kessler, I'm not so sure about. What are your thoughts on the Jazz? And like, is there any streaming value there for you in Utah?
I thought it may have been Bryce Sensabaugh. I thought he may have stepped up, but he did have a stinker in the last one. But prior to that, he did look really solid and he was playing some nice minutes. So just keep an eye out for him. But if Taylor Hendricks does return, that would impact Bryce there. Lauri Markkanen being away, we just don't know when he's coming back. Utah don't really have anything to play for. I think they could probably force their way into a play-in, but do they have that impetus? Do they really need to do that? Probably not. They're not going to contend. So there's a lot of motivation for them to sit Lowry.
Yeah. So, I think it's Sensabaugh and Hendricks are the two probably streaming preferences here. Depending on if Hendricks is healthy, I'd go Hendricks over Sensible. And if he's not, then I'd go with Sensible. Portland, much like they did last season, are already starting to shut down their guys. Jeremy Grant, no word yet on Anthony Simons, which I'm surprised about. He hasn't been rested. He hasn't been sort of, they haven't flagged a knee soreness or anything like that with him yet. Do we think it's coming?
It's coming. It's coming. But I'm actually surprised that it hasn't come yet. Or with DeAndre Ayton, I thought he was out for quite some time, did come back for a while. Duop Reith was filling in nicely. Ayton returned, which was surprising to me. And he's actually bloody playing well. Fantastic at the moment, putting up some big numbers.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's weird. Maybe they've just realized that they're so bad it doesn't matter whether they play their guys. So it's not like having their second string team on the floor makes them worse because they're just bad anyway. So
So I
don't know. I didn't think I'd have any confidence in Portland come this time of the year, but I'm actually, at the moment, I'm okay just rolling their guys out there and waiting, because as you said, I think Simons will be eased out of the, not out of the rotation, but he'll miss some games, and DeAndre Ayton. But at the moment, just roll with them. San Kingy, Antonio.
I was just going to say, Kingy, on your thoughts on the Blazers, just Scoot Henderson, are they going to rest him?
Oh, well, I would think just because he's been a bit in and out this season and up and down, they haven't really had a good sustained look at him. So I don't know, maybe they just want to keep him out there down the stretch, at least until the end of March. Maybe in those last sort of five games or six games in April, we see some stuff going on. But at the moment, I think they're probably going to keep him out there. So, yeah, I'd be okay rolling him out as well.
Yeah, Delano Banton actually last week had some really nice value. Scoot returned. Jeremy Grant returned as well, and that really hurt him. Jeremy Grant out. Delano actually started ahead of Scoot today, which is somewhat of a surprise.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Yeah, obviously they just want to get a bit of a look at Banton here to see what they've got. There's nothing invested in him at all. So he is someone that probably will be out there most nights. His role will change a little bit. I think we've seen that. But, yeah, he's certainly worth streaming in on low-volume nights.
And another Aussie. Oh, sorry, I keep interrupting going at the Spurs, but another Aussie, Matisse Thybulle. My God, he looks like an absolute great streamer for defensive stats. But putting it on the board across the board at the moment as well, which is, again, surprising.
It is, yeah. Look, he's actually been pretty consistent. That's always been an issue for him, has been consistency. But yeah, over the last couple of games, if you did stream him in for his defensive stuff, you're getting that. Plenty of steals. There was one game last week where he didn't do much because I streamed him in for that game.
So it was your fault.
That was when he had zero steals and one block in 19 minutes, but it was a back-to-back, I believe. So I kept him for the next day and he had four steals and a block. So he made up for it.
Yeah.
But look, he's had two, four assist games, multiple steals in quite a few games lately, multiple blocks in two straight games. So he's doing exactly what you need him to do. So his minutes are very up and down, ranging from, as I said, 19 up to the low 30s. So, yeah, I wouldn't be streaming him in and thinking, hey, he's going to play 30 minutes every night here. But even in 20, 22, 24 minutes, he can still give you 3 to 4 combined defensive stats with a couple of threes and maybe an assist or two. So,
and it definitely helps with Jeremy Grant sidelined as well. It's a bit more valid from Matisse.
It does. Yep. San Antonio. Now, I thought we were heading down that path when Wemby missed a couple of games. Vassell, I think, missed one. So it did appear that we were, and then Wemby played a back-to-back. I didn't think he'd play in that recent back-to-back, but he did. So did Vassell. So do we think they're going to shut it down? Because at the moment, they're pretty healthy. Keldon Johnson's questionable for tomorrow. So is Chetty Osman, but we don't care about that. Other than that, they're pretty healthy. Are they a little bit like Portland? Are they just, hey, we're so bad, we might as well roll our guys out there?
Perhaps. I would expect a lot more games off for Wemby, but once he reaches that 65-game threshold, locks in that rookie of the year, I would expect a few more days off for him.
Yeah.
Malachi Branham showed some form earlier in the week, but that sort of faded away, I guess. Devin Vassell coming back sort of impacted that as well. But yeah, there's not a great deal of stream depth whilst they are fully healthy at the moment. But like you said, Keldon Johnson questionable for tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm okay with rolling with your Spurs guys at the moment as well. And finally, Charlotte. Well, they've been questionable all season. I think, I don't know, Mark Williams is already doubtful for next year, I think, based on their injury reporting. Trey Mann came back today, so but didn't really impact Vasily Micic. He still played really well. I mean, get this off the table. If he's available, if Micic is available, go and change that. I'd be adding him everywhere. Mm-hmm. Trey Mann sort of, he started quite well and then he sort of plateaued. He's had a bit of an injury. Is he still someone you think has value in standard leagues?
Perhaps for this week, but going into next week, it's two-game week. So if you think you may have the win this week, which is great for you, but if you are planning for next week, it's a tough hold. I think they play on the Tuesday, so perhaps you could hold him through to the Tuesday and then drop him for something else. But yeah, it's I'm not rushing out to grab Trey Mann right now.
No. All right, a couple more questions quickly. We will we'll just quickly answer these. Armand Anderson, is Alexander on Minnesota a pickup with four games next week? So they're coming off, they've got two games this week. So there's a decent chance that quite a few Timberwolves have been dropped in your league. So if you get to Saturday and you're in a position where you think you're going to win pretty comfortably and you can start looking ahead to next week, what do you think about Nickeil Alexander-Walker? Because he's been pretty good lately.
Yes, I guess with Cat out, there's been a lot more shots to be put up and he's playing close to 30 minutes a game the last few. Yep. It's a decent shout, I think, with four games next week, but it's what are we today? Thursday. Yeah, if you can make that pickup right now and you're confident that you'll get through the week, I think it's a decent stream. But yeah, he can be up and down. We've seen inconsistencies over his career, but not a bad shout.
Yeah, and he is coming off I mean, I don't even need to look, do I? His best game of the season, where he had 28 points with 5 threes. But outside that, he didn't do a lot. So one assist, zero steals. If you're streaming him in, that's probably what you're looking at from him is some assists, some defensive stuff, and like 10 to 12 points. So the points was a bonus. But with four games, I think both he and someone like Kyle Anderson are worth looking at next week. Naz Reid is probably rostered, although given they only have one game the rest of the week, he's been dropped in one of my leagues. So he could be floating around as well. He'd be another one that I'd be looking at. Jonathan Isaac played some backup five today. Any thoughts on this? Do you think this is something that they might be looking at long term? They haven't really been settled on a center rotation all year in Orlando. They've sort of been rolling with just a mix of Wendell Carter Jr., Goga Badadze, and Mo Wagner. Is Isaac just another sort of finger in the pie here? For me, I don't think this is anything we can trust yet.
Completely agree, Kingy. I can't trust it. We've seen flashes of Jonathan Isaac, and I think we think of yesteryear when he was that fantasy elite guy for one or one and a half seasons. I don't think we can trust it, but yeah, just keep an eye on it because things could change.
Yeah, I'd be monitoring it. What are the chances Zion plays both legs of the back-to-back? I think there's a chance he does. I don't know. Let me just have a look at what he's done in recent back-to-backs. I just think he's playing so well and the Pelicans are just trying to win as many games as possible that it makes sense to get him out there, even if his minutes are monitored slightly.
And he's been playing those back-to-backs. The last few back-to-backs he is playing. So, yeah, good chance that he does play that.
Yeah, I think he will. The last time he missed a back-to-back was over a month ago. Obviously, we had the All-Star break in there, so it's not as many games. But, yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance he does. And what are the chances that Porzingis plays this week? Celtics have two more games, I believe, this week. He's been ruled out for tomorrow already, pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I moved him into my IR spot. Yes, he is out. Well, I mean, we sort of touched on this to start the show. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play this week. Just given where they're positioned, they're pretty comfortable at the top of the standings. They don't need him out there. They want him for the playoffs. So, yeah, hamstrings can be tricky, even if it's only a minor thing, which I think it is. They've got every reason to just play it cool here and give him a week or two off. So I would think there's a greater chance he doesn't play this week than he does.
Yep, agreed.
All right, on to our matchup. So we've only got two, and the way for anyone that hasn't watched, the way we usually do this is we look at the player rankings for the last 3 weeks. We find two players that are similarly ranked, and then we have a discussion about who we would prefer rest of season. Given there isn't much of the season left, I said to you, find two players who are similarly sort of ranked the last 3 weeks, and let's just quickly chat on who we would prefer next season. And this is going to lead us into our final topic tonight, which is having a look at our early mock draft for next season. So talk me through your thinking here. You've gone with Cade Cunningham and DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, both been on an absolute heater the last 3 weeks, but DeJounte, in the absence of Trey, has just been next level. He's been San Antonio Spurs version of DeJounte, but he's been the 26th ranked nine cap player of the last 3 weeks. Cade has been 32nd, so not too far behind, but both have been outstanding. Across the season, we know that Cade's inefficiency does hurt him in terms of the rankings, but I think the upside is there with Cade Cunningham going into next season. But yeah, it's also skewing some of the numbers now with DeJounte just absolutely dominating and running the show with Trae Young sidelined. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but going into next season, I just like the upside of Cade just a little bit more, particularly if Trae and DeJounte do stick together, that there's every chance that they actually split them up. So it's a little dicey at this stage.
Yeah, look, this is actually an interesting one because I drafted one of these players in our mock draft, but I was actually considering both of them at my pick. So in my mind, I have them fairly close, and the deciding factor for me was the upside of Cade. So I went with Cade over DeJounte just because I think he's younger I don't think we've scratched the surface yet on what he can do. I feel like Detroit are on the way up. I think next year they're going to be better. Whereas Atlanta, I'm not sure. They sort of have plateaued for the last 3 to 4 years, and I'm not sure where the improvement is coming. The reason I considered DeJounte is, as you said, if they split he and Trae Young up next season and move, say Trae moves, for example, and DeJounte, it's his team. We've seen how good he can be in the last 2 weeks with Trae out. As you said, he's a borderline top 20 player. So that was in the back of my mind. And obviously when we come to actually drafting next season, we'll know probably where DeJounte is, where Trae is, whose team it is. So at the moment, I would lean Cade here as well for that reason. I just like his upside a little bit more.
And there's going to be a lot of people looking at those rankings, whether it be Basketball Monster, hashtag basketball, going, why would you? They're not even comparable. But
yeah,
a lot of people also punt turnovers. And for me, is not that important because you're obviously going for these high usage guys. Turnovers, not that important to me. So yeah, Cade for the upside for me.
So my matchup was, I was scrolling through and I was going to do a first round, sort of two first round guys and who would we prefer. But I went a little bit deeper and went into sort of the top 50 range, top 40 range. So these guys over the last 3 weeks, where are we? Miles Turner is the 47th ranked player and Jalen Duren is the 57th ranked player. So less than a round between them. Duren had a 2020 game today, looked really good. We know exactly who Miles Turner is at this point. We know exactly where his value is. It comes from blocks. It comes from out of position three-pointers. Duren, I feel like, has – like, so for me, I mean, jumping ahead, for me, I would go with Duren here next season pretty comfortably. I think Turner has sort of settled into that probably third to fourth round in most drafts, and if you're drafting him, it's for the blocks, really. So where I think Duren is a much better rebounder, I think the blocks will come. I don't think he'll ever get to the 2.5-3 blocks that Turner can produce, but I think he could be closer to sort of 1.8 at some point in his career. What about you? Is there a clear winner here for you?
I wouldn't say it's clear, but I'm leaning Jalen Duren. Again, that upside that we spoke about with Cade. And I don't think his full offensive arsenal is out on display yet. And we've seen flashes of it. And I think there's just a lot of excitement around him. I like where the Pistons are going. Duren is just an absolute beast on the boards as well. And something that's quite different to Miles Turner. So we also know that blocks can skew some of those rankings.
Yeah.
And if you do value blocks that way, perhaps Miles Turner is your guy. But for me, I think with the plethora of options with those blocks that we saw this season, Duren is just my pick there.
And I actually think if you go through, because if you don't have Duren on your team, you probably don't pay a lot of attention to what he's doing other than you hear, oh, he had a 20-20 game today. That's great. But if you actually go and look at his box score and look at what he's doing, he's basically a walking double-double at this point. But the assists, there's some sneaky value in assists there. So he had 5 assists today. And then he's had one assist, that's no good, but 3-4-3, 2-2-5-4-3. If you can get 3.5 to 4 assists from a center like this, I think that's a win. And his free throw percentage is also okay. He's by no means is he dragging you down in that category. He's sitting at 78% for the year. No reason he can't get that to 80. So that, for me, there aren't a lot of guys who fit this sort of mold of not a three-point shooter necessarily, but a center who can get you some blocks and rebounds but can also shoot free throws. There's not a lot of them around. So, yeah, I think Duren next year will probably be going inside the top 50.
And we spoke about Cade and Duren. I think their improvement is going to be quite similar. Their projections together. Yeah. I think they're just going to both take off in the next few years where we could see them as a dominant force.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so on to let's just do this question quickly. Lunch Daddy. Hey, boys, I have Bane. I have Bane playoff starting next week. 9 cat, do you think he will be worthwhile or a honey trap? We did touch on this a little bit. What are your thoughts on Bane? Like, as I said, I don't think he plays consecutive games. I don't think he plays probably more than 28 minutes. And I think probably for the first one or two games, he's maybe at 22 to 24 minutes.
Yeah, I think he's an absolute trap at the moment. Like you said, there's going to be heavy restrictions. There's no need to play him. Again, another reason why I'm quite surprised that he is listed as questionable for the next game. If he does play, you may want to stream him in if he's available. I just don't have that confidence in him right now.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up their schedule for next week. Memphis have 3 games next week. They play Monday, Wednesday, Friday. All games are on the road. Sacramento, Golden State, San Antonio. Look, I would think maybe he plays in two out of the 3. Is 2 games of Desmond Bane playing mid-20s enough? For me, it's not. He was on my waivers this morning. I could have added him and I didn't. So I guess if that's an example. So, yeah, look, I think obviously per game he's going to be putting up numbers because he's by far the best player on the floor. But coming off I don't know how long he's been out. It's been months. So, yeah, for me, there's not enough of a guarantee there to make him must roster or anything like that. Okay, my way too early, 24-25 NBA fantasy mock draft. A list of the analysts there who have been part of this. Yeah, to my surprise, I posted this in I just sent messages to a few of the analysts and expecting to get a sort of mixed response. Some people would be like, no, this is way too early. I've got other things. Everyone came back to me within probably 2 hours saying, yep, count me in. So obviously we're all out of our playoffs. We're all frustrated and already looking to next season. I've already been through the first five rounds with Matty G and with Noah Rubin. You and Kayla covered your picks and did a little bit of a recap on your show earlier in the week. And the Roto World guys, Dan Titus, Raphael Johnson, on their show earlier, so went the Wednesday show, they talked about it as well. So there is plenty of coverage for this, which is great. So we'll just go through pick by pick, but we'll focus on our picks. I'm picking at pick 3, and you're towards the end, aren't you? You pick 13.
Yeah.
So my team so far, so as I said, I got Nikola Jokic with the third pick. No-brainer, really. It was him or Shea or Wemby. They're the top three. Wemby went number one. Shea went number two, so I took Jokic. I then took Jalen Brunson in the second round, Cade Cunningham in the third, Franz Wagner in the fourth, Miles Bridges in the fifth, Onyeka Okongwu is who I've taken in this sixth round, and then I follow that up with Terry Rozier in the seventh round. Now, this is a 14-team league as well, so you've just got to add a little bit when you're looking at position, that sort of thing. Have you got your team up there in front of you so you can roll through it?
I do. Yeah, I do. So I took Anthony Davis at pick 13 in the first round, then followed up with Donovan Mitchell in the second round at pick 16. Third round got PG-13, which was a nice get for me. But again, you could see that there's a little bit of risk here. I've got AD and PG-13. And then I added some more risk to that by adding Jimmy Butler in the fourth round. So I'm really going for that per game, real sort of value there. But yeah, you ought to be careful when you do something like this in real drafts. But I couldn't resist getting Jimmy Butler in the fourth round in a 14-teamer, considering. Grabbed Nick Claxton in the fifth round, nice and steady. He's not going to give you humongous points, but you know what you're getting with Nick Claxton. He's going to be steady, and I can't really see Daron Sharp taking over that Nets starting spot next season. Now we're in the sixth round, and you've got Matt Smith's there. The next one for me, and I spoke about this on my show, Between Two Hoops with Kayla, I've gone for more of a statement, bold call. And people are going to go, what are you thinking? But if you bring up 72, it's Scoot Henderson.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me explain myself.
Yes, this is an interesting one. So the floor is yours. Talk us through the Scoot Henderson pick.
He's got top draft pick, high lottery draft pick. He's got that allure about him. He has had a very disappointing season, but we see that with rookie guards. We often see it. We've seen it in the past. Probably the last guy that's actually been a really good rookie draft that's been a top tier sort of guy is probably Dame Lillard, going back several seasons. But Scoot Henderson, I just think that he could be a potential top 30 type of dynasty prospect. And I don't necessarily think it's going to happen next season. There's a lot of moving parts there. And the pick just before by Matt Smith, Anthony Simons, he's still going to be there in Portland as well. So there's still going to be a lot of usage to share. Scoot Henderson, I just think he's got the game. He can get more efficient. Of course, he can get more efficient. But I think they're just going to run him he's going to be the main man, I think, next season. I just have gone that big, bold statement call at, I guess, pick 72. This is the sort of spot that you want to do those sort of things.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, getting into this range in the draft, it can get a little bit boring and you play it safe and you just sort of go with like a Tobias Harris or someone like that. And so, yeah, look, absolutely fine going for some upside here. I don't think the Portland rotation is done. Like, I think what we're seeing this season is not the finished product, whether Anthony Simons is shipped off somewhere. But I think Henderson is clearly their guy. Like he's the guy they want to build around. So next season, I don't envisage them being a competitive team again. So it makes sense for them to just be getting him out there and figuring out who they need to put on the floor around him. So, yeah, look, it probably is, I guess people might consider this a bit of a reach, but at this point in the draft, why not? And again, it's a mock draft, so we're not stressing too much. Asar Thompson went at 73 to Kyle McEwen. Tyler Herro to Zach Hanshu at 74. Emmanuel Quickley to Matty G at 75. What are your thoughts on Emmanuel Quickley? Because he's been pretty good since arriving in Toronto. Finally, I guess, getting those minutes that we've been asking for the last 2-3 years in New York. Could he be top 50 next season? Does he have the upside to get into the top 50, or does he not do enough to get there?
I think he's got the upside, and the pathway's been cleared for him. We always knew that whilst he was at the Knicks, there was just too many guys in front of him that were taking those opportunities away. He's got that opportunity, but I do feel like Toronto are going to make some moves. They always do, or they often do. I just feel like there's another big fish that could end up in Toronto, but there is that upside. So I really like Matty G's pick there.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up Quickley's numbers. I know he had a little hip thing there, missed a game or two, but if we look at his numbers over the last month, he's a top 30 player. Over the last 2 weeks, top 45. Last week, top 25. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 1 steal, 3 threes. I don't know, that all seems relatively sustainable. The rebounds probably come down a little bit because Scotty Barnes has obviously got to come back into that lineup, and he takes up some of that. Jakob Poeltl. So, but I think he could be close to 20 points, 18 to 20 points, 6 to 7 assists, a steal, 2.5 threes. So that puts him in that category, at least I think for borderline top 50, top 60 next season. So I'm fine taking him here. Dan Titus took John Collins. Alex Reclean, of course, took Walker Kessler. So two Utah guys here. The John Collins one to me is interesting. This feels high. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'd have to talk to Dan, and I will be talking to Dan next week on my show about his team. What do you think he is going through his mind here with John Collins at 76?
Could be a little bit of recency bias. John Collins has looked awesome recently, but there's been a lot going on with Utah. I don't know what he's been ranked in the last month or so, but it would be high. I just think that things are going to change in Utah. I don't think he's going to get the same role next season. I could see Walker Kessler playing more of a role next season, which Alex has taken the following pick. So I would definitely swap those two guys out, but I'll probably have John Collins closer to the 100 mark, to be honest.
Yeah, so he's just pulled up his numbers. So he's the 63rd ranked player over the last month. But a lot of that value is coming from blocks and rebounds. So he's averaging 15 and 10, basically, with 1.6 blocks. So to me, I just don't think the blocks are sustainable. He's a career sort of one block per game. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they decide that, hey, John Collins, you're our starting center, then maybe he could get 1.4, but where does that leave Walker Kessler? The whole Walker Kessler thing this season has been pretty, I don't know, confusing to me anyway. I don't know why they don't roll him out there. Did you see this coming this year?
Not at all. I thought Walker Kessler he's taken really high, and I thought, yes, too high for my liking, but I thought he was a clear top 50 guy. Top 50, but coming out of the World Cup, I don't know. I expected a lot more from Walker Kessler.
He obviously has his limitations offensively, which I guess impacts him a little bit. But, yeah, defensively, I just would have thought they'd have him out there. But anyway, 78 was Jakob Poeltl to Mike Barner. B-Dub took Mark Williams at 79. Kayla.
I do like the pick of Mark Williams, but then there's the question marks around his longevity in the game. I know he's still a young guy, but these consistent back issues are of concern.
They are, yeah. It's and Charlotte are certainly not forthcoming with injury updates and that sort of thing. So we actually don't know what's been going on. I mean, he could have had surgery for all we know. Right. Yeah. So I don't mind the pick there. And again, this is a mock. So by this time next year, we should have some clarity, you would hope, around his health and availability coming into the season. Kayla took Brooke Lopez, pick 80. Noah Rubin took Jonathan Kuminga at 81. I took Onyeka Okongwu at 82. Skitty took Zach LaVine at 83, and Raphael Johnson took Bradley Beal at 84. Any of these stand out? Any thoughts on these?
I really like the Okongwu pick, Kingy. I'm not just saying that because I'm here, but you would expect eventually Clint Capella will be traded. Eventually. And then the world is Onyeka's, it's his oyster, I guess. I really like that one. There's some upside. And even if he does continue to split those minutes with Capella, I think he's not far off this value anyway.
Yeah, so I'm just pulling up his game log because he's been out a little while now with his, it was a toe or a foot or something. Why didn't that load up? But prior to going down, I know Capella was out with his own injury, but Okongwu was starting. He was playing well. Here we go. So he had, he was basically scoring double-digit points every night, close to double-digit rebounds. He was getting two blocks, exactly what we sort of projected he could do if he ever steps into that starting role. For the season, he's 109th in 25 minutes. So his floor is sort of top 100. So taking him at 82, I'm absolutely fine with because I think his ceiling is probably top 40.
Yeah. And as we've probably mentioned a fair few times, and I have on my show, the difference between someone taking in the 80 range and 100, it's a very small difference as well. Yeah. So you always look at that upside.
That's right. Okay. So into round 7, Raphael Johnson on the turn, he took CJ McCollum. Jake Skidmore took Daniel Gafford. I went with Terry Rozier. I don't know. I'm okay with this pick, but it was, I don't know. Looking back, because I think I did look at Keontae George, I went, no, I'll go with Terry Rozier. I probably should have gone with Keontae George here, I think. But I'm okay with Terry Rozier. I think his floor is safe enough. D'Angelo Russell went at 89 to Kayla. Jaden Ivey to B-Dub at 90 and Shaedon Sharpe to Mike Barner at 91. Given this is my pick, what do you think about Terry Rozier here at 87?
If it was still Charlotte Terry Rozier, absolutely. Miami, I'm not as convinced. He would be steady, probably lower upside here. So that's probably where I probably would have gone, as you said, Keontae, over Terry Rozier.
Yeah, I think I sort of sniped myself there. and again, possibly a case of overthinking it a little bit because I, from memory, I looked at it and went, oh, I like Keontae George here. I like his upside. But then I would have seen Terry Rozier further up the rankings and just thought, oh, no, Rozier, he's looked better lately, which he has. He was pretty bad when he first came across in the trade. But the last few weeks, he's sort of close to, I don't know, 15 to 17 points with five assists and some rebounds and some steals. And doing his thing.
With Tyler Hero out, I guess, as well. Probably played a part in that.
It has, yeah. So he's a top 50 over the last month, but Hero has been out for quite a bit of that. And Butler's missed some time. And so, he's probably, those days of top 40, top 50 Terry Rozier are probably gone. So I don't mind this in terms of, I think it's fairly safe. I think he probably finishes top 80, top 90, but I just don't think there's much upside here. 92, so Alex Reclean went with Derek Lively. So interesting pairing Lively and Walker Kessler with his last two picks. Dan Titus went with Yusuf Nurkic. I tell you, Dan Titus must have just been going for the all boring team, and I'm going to talk to him about it because he went with Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Fred VanVleet, Mikal Bridges, Nikola Vucevic, John Collins, Yusuf Nurkic. They're good, but there's not a lot of upside with his picks.
And I don't want to poo-poo his next pick, but it was another boring pick, Clint Capella, but you'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. So very safe team. He'd sort of just probably hover around the middle of the table all year. Yeah.
nothing.
Matty G
that.
Went with Austin Reeves at 94. Colin Sexton to Zach Hanshew at 95. How close are we to you? Let me have a look. You went with, because I'll let you talk about your pick when we get there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've got Josh Giddey. So you picked after this one. But what are your thoughts on Josh Giddey at 96?
He's still a young guy, and there's not that Australian bias, but I feel like there is. That just his stat set is quite unique. A guy that does get you those really good rebounds, nice assists, okay in terms of his points. But, yeah, just he's been very disappointing, hasn't he? Just
yeah.
Having said that, quite recently, and whatever reason that's been, he has looked more solid. And I don't think it's necessarily the presence of Gordon Hayward. You would think that that would actually be the opposite. Yep. But he's been okay. And I don't know, maybe he's just thinking about the Olympics. Got to represent the Boomers and got to get some form in.
Yeah, maybe. He has looked better. He's one of – there's a few guards I'd love to see head to San Antonio this offseason to play point guard to Wemby. He's one of them. One of the others is Markel Fultz. I think a fresh start for him would be really good. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, yeah, I'd love to see a nice, solid point guard. Trey Jones has been fine, but – yeah, I'd love to see Josh Giddey or...
Fine is the word, Gingy.
Fine is the word.
Just fine, yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. at 97 was your pick. Talk us through this one.
I've sort of gone boring here. I went for a pretty crazy, far out there one with Scoot. So I thought, let's ease it off a little bit of Michael Porter Jr. But he's actually been really solid, particularly lately. He's just shown that, what was it, 2-3 seasons ago, he was top 30, I want to say top 30 guy. And I'm not saying he's going to get back to that because that was just an elite shooting efficiency season. But he just has, you know, there was a game, and I know that I was going up against an opponent in a league, and pretty sure he shot 100%, 10 from 10, something crazy. And he can have nights like that where he can just win you field goals. He could win you threes as well. I think I've just gone safe for this one, but I do think there is still a little bit of upside there with Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I think this is very safe, like a few of these picks are, but unlike my Terry Rozier pick, I think there is upside here. So I think that's the difference, is that Michael Porter could easily be top 70, top 60, maybe top 50 if everything went to plan. But with Rozier, I don't think that's the case. So, this is fine.
He's ranked 69th on the season so far.
Yeah.
So I think, 97, getting someone in the top 70, I think that's decent.
98, Matt Smith went with Amen Thompson. Interesting. I think of the two of Amen and Asar, Amen is sort of the consensus preference in terms of looking at long-term value. But heading into next season, his role in Houston this year has been pretty muted. If we're honest, he's playing more minutes of late because of injuries. But coming into next season, I think Houston are going to have a fairly similar lineup. They've obviously shown a lot of improvement this season compared to last season. So, is he in for an increase in role next season, or is this sort of a year, maybe a year or two too early to go Amen Thompson?
It may be a year too early. I don't see, like you said, I don't see many changes to that lineup. They've given some big contracts to guys like Dylan Brooks. Fred VanVleet will still be there, and he's been fantastic this season.
Yep.
But I bang on about this, but that upside with our main Thompson, for a dynasty, I think he's a clear top 50 guy, and you see that skill set and that stat set for fantasy is just beautiful. It's chef's kiss. But for next season... it's dicey, but again, Matt's going for upside, and I really love that.
Yeah, look, that's right. We're at pick 100, basically. So at this point of the draft, you are swinging for upside. And look, maybe over this final month, he shows them enough that coming into next season, they just go, hey, we've got to find you minutes. We can't have you playing 15 minutes off the bench. We need you playing at least 24 to 26. I don't mind this. At this point in the draft, it's fine. So, all right, let me stop sharing. We don't need to see a black screen. That'll bring us to the end of the show. I think we covered everything there. We had some good questions. Always lovely to get questions. let people know what you've got coming up over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's still going to continue with our weekly show with Kayla Fonte. So Between Two Hoops, catch us over on NBA Fantasy Bible. We do have that on YouTube. Of course, give me a follow on Twitter as well.
Yep. Yeah, follow Dan, follow Kayla as well, at Kayla underscore Fonte. Is hers. All of the guys that are in this mock draft, if you follow me on Twitter and you'll be able to find links that I've put up and tweets and tagging them all. So you'll find all of the guys there. Despite the fact that the season is starting to wind down, we'll have lots of stuff at FBI Basketball as well. Our playoff leagues, I think, will be launched in the next couple of weeks. B-Dub is already working on those. Then we'll move straight into draft-only leagues for next season. Never too early to start drafting for next season. So, plenty of content coming out. My show doesn't stop. I don't know whether your show stops during the off-season.
It may go a little bit, I won't say quiet, but there'll be less of the show, but we'll still put out some content as well. I know Kayla is very keen to continue that, and I am as well. So I'm trying to get back into the gym. So I know some of our shows do happen a little bit late for me, but I still really want to get them the content out for the guys there.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this show will continue, so I'm sure we'll get you on again before the end of the season and then during the off season. So, plenty coming up. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Follow us on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe. Follow us on Twitter. We're also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast content. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.